doctrine of God. And thank you, Lord. We understand that we are totally blessed to have your word to live by. And so help us now, Father God, as we bring that word. Thank you for your anointing that's upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You can go ahead and be seated. I thought, I was sitting back there thinking a few minutes ago, I thought, you know, it'd be kind of nice to be Pastor Ed's grandchild. Right? Come on, she gets anything she wants. So, I mean, I started thinking a lot of things. My head just started clicking of things that I wanted, you know. Yeah. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So here Paul's writing to Timothy, a young pastor, and he tells him, he says, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. You see, a lot of folks think that, you know, preachers, well, we need to study and that kind of thing so that we can give the people something. But the reason I study is to show myself approved unto God. Now, I want to study to give you something too, but I want to be approved of God first. Come on now. Now, here's the one thing I want to bring out about that is the fact that even though Timothy was a young pastor, That scripture is not just to pastors and preachers. Come on, that scripture is to the whole congregation, to every believer, for us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Come on now. Notice that. That to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there's folks that know some scriptures, but they don't know how to rightly divide it. In other words, they can't explain it to you. They can't help you to understand what it says. So see, that's really the big difference between reading and studying. You can read something and you'll know and get the gist of it. But when you study something, then you can begin to rightly divide it. In other words, when I study it out, then I can get the full meaning of it. I can get the full understanding of it. And then I'm able to explain it better. Amen. You see, and that's important for every one of us, because I'm going to give you a scripture that shows you that we should absolutely know what we're talking about. As children of God, as Christians, as believers, the Word of God is our standard for living. And so it's important for every one of us to know what the Scripture says. Amen. I understand that the biggest part of the body of Christ doesn't know the Word. They don't study the Word. They have no idea. But listen to what 1 Peter says here in chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Notice what he says here. He says that we ought to be ready to give an answer when somebody asks us about our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. And it says, even if they make fun of you, if you know you're right and you're in the Word of God and you're doing what the Word of God says and you're living the godly life, you're the one that's on the right side and they're in the wrong. Come on, church. You see, that's the thing about the body of Christ. We're supposed to be given an example. We're supposed to be that light that's upon, you know, the candlestick, giving light to everybody. We're the one that's the city on the hill. Come on. People look at us, they watch our lifestyles, and when they talk to us, we need to be able to explain what we believe. Amen. We need to be able to give an answer for that. When somebody asks you, well, do you believe in them tongues? You need to be able to explain to them from the Scriptures why you believe. Come on now. When they ask you, well, you mean you really believe somebody can backslide? You need to be able to tell them why you believe somebody can backslide. Come on, when they ask you, do you think it's really that easy to get saved? To just give them, you need to be able to give them scriptures so that you can tell them that. You see, you and I are the body of Christ. Come on, you're the anointed ones. We're the anointed ones. You and I are supposed to be doing business for the Lord Jesus Christ here until He comes and gets us and takes us home. And therefore, we need to be equipping ourselves. We need to be studying to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And notice what he says. He says for us to shun all those profane babblings there and all that stuff. What's he talking about? The foolishness. The foolishness that you hear a lot of times. People saying this and people saying that. He says just shun all that. If it's not backed up by the word of God, shun it. Come on, he goes on and talks about Hymenaeus and them, how they were saying that the resurrection had already come, and it was causing a lot of confusion because they were saying stuff that wasn't true. When people say things that's not in the Bible, it confuses other people. Come on, anybody else besides me grow up the same way? Now, you'll know when it gets to the end of the time because the Bible says it'll get to where you can't tell the seasons apart. Anybody, I mean, some of you young folk might not hear that, but us older folk, that's what they used to say all the time. Because they didn't know what the Word of God said. And they'd just say what they'd heard somebody else say. And you know, truth is, a lot of preaching was passed down and has and still is being passed down a lot of times. Just because somebody else says it, then somebody else, you hear somebody say it, and they'll just preach what they heard them say. Amen. And it's not in the Word of God at all sometimes. Amen. You know, it's real easy. You know, you can just, if you're just reading something, it's real easy for you to miss out on something or take it the wrong way just reading it. But if you study it, a friend of mine was asking me, we were talking the other day, and he was talking about over there where Elijah, remember when Elijah went up against the 450 prophets of Baal? Well, it'd been a little while since I'd studied it out, but I'd never really paid any attention to it. But over there, it gives the reference for the ditch that Elijah dug around this. Remember, he had him pour the water on there, and it talked about the ditch around there, and it used the reference to tell you how big the ditch was. It used the seed reference, a measurement of seed. And we were talking, and he was saying, I wonder what the seed was for. You know, and it, like I said, it had been a little while, and I said, well, you know, I'm not sure, but I said, if there was seed, the offering, and I, like I told him, I said, you know, it's been a while since I read it. I said, well, I could see the seed being part of the offering because seed sometime was offered. Well, I went back and I reread that again. When I reread it again, didn't have nothing to do with seed other than the fact that it was a measurement. The ditch would hold this much seed. Seed wasn't used. It was just a reference of how big the ditch was. And we talked about it and stuff, and we talked about the fact that, you know, sometimes you can just be reading and you'll read something and maybe you don't catch exactly what it said, the way it said it. So it's real important for us to study because you can get misled by some things. You know, just changing things a little bit, right? Just one word sometimes can change a whole scripture. Amen. So we have to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth and know what it says so that we can explain it to somebody and be able to help somebody know what the word of God says. See, when you study out the word of God, you know, a lot of folks think that Christ is Jesus' last name. They really do. They think that, you know, and because the Bible says Jesus Christ all the time, you know. But when you study out Christ, you understand that it means the anointed one in his anointing. So when it's saying Jesus and it says Jesus Christ, it's saying Jesus the Anointed. Or Jesus the Anointed One is what it's saying. But it, you know, unless you study some things out and see those kind of things, then you don't know that. So it's important for us so that we do know some things. Come on now. We need to be able to tell somebody. Now, you know, and it's not just certain scriptures. You know, some folk got pretty good on just a few scriptures, but we need to be able to have an overview and be able, that does not that you know everything in the Word of God. I mean, you know, we're all still learning some things, you know, but we still need to understand that all the scriptures are important. Amen. Let me show you here. You're in 2 Timothy 2. Go jump right over to 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 14. It says, here, Paul again, still talking to Timothy. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, he says, you know, you need to continue in the things that you know is right. Come on now, don't just take anything. Don't just get on the internet and find somebody that said something and take that as the gospel. Come on now. Don't just go on to Christian TV and you hear a preacher say something and think it's the gospel. Make sure that you know who said it and that they're giving you the Word of God. Amen. You know, you can get messed up by listening to some of those folks because, man, they're off. There used to be a guy, and I don't remember his name or whatever, but he would get on there and you'd see him a lot on early morning shows, and people would write and ask him questions. And he'd give them answers to their questions on his show. And I can remember sitting there watching that. And that guy was so far off from the Word of God sometimes it was unbelievable. But people, they would just take it like, man, that's the gospel right there. That's what I wanted to know. And he'd be off. But they didn't know. And so it just went on that way. Of course, it's his show. He could say what he wanted to. But it's important. You've got to understand that. If folks have money when it comes to Christian TV, they can have a show on TV. Amen. And here's the thing, you know, there's a lot of false doctrine out there, and as long as somebody gets up there and you know, they can get people to believe that stuff. But you and I, we need to be able to back it up with the Word of God. Right? So he says, you know, he's telling Timothy, he said, continue in the things that you know because you know where you got them. In other words, he's saying, you got this from me, so stay with that. Paul was one that said, follow me as I follow Christ. And he goes on and then he says, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 16. All Scripture. Everybody say all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice that all Scripture is profitable. Amen. It's all profitable. You can't just take this part and say, well, we don't believe that part. Or we don't preach this part. Or we, you know, I'm not sure about that part. No, it's all profitable. If there's something we don't understand, we need to study it out. Come on. Now, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't, you know, get find sources that help you. But just make sure whatever sources you get to help you study, they're backed, it stays in line with the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. There's some folks out there that are good people and they're sincere in their heart and in a lot of the stuff they say. But the truth is, in some things, they're sincerely wrong. Amen. You know, you can get into some different doctrines, and I'm not going to get into any of them today, but I just want you to understand, when you hear something, search it out. See if you can see what the Word says about it. You know, you guys know that we don't teach eternal security here, and the reason we don't is because there's too many scriptures that go against eternal security. I understand some of the scriptures that they used, you know, no man can pluck them out of my hand and all that kind of thing. But, you know, when you study that out, you find out that ain't nobody can cause you to separate from God. That's what you do. That's your choice whether or not you separate yourself from God. But we also know God's not, he doesn't override our will. So if you decide you don't want to go to heaven, you're not going to get to go to heaven. If you decide to live like the devil, then he'll let you live like the devil. He gives you the choice to do that. Right? Amen. He allows you to choose. That's why he from Old Testament and New Testament, you find God saying, you choose who you're going to serve. I'm giving you the choice, you know, blessing and cursing, life and death. But he says, choose life. I want you to live. I want you to go to heaven. But you'll have to study this out for yourself and see what you believe. Amen. So when we're looking at this, we understand that all Scripture is profitable. God wants us to know. And you know, here's the things. We can miss out on the things of God that we don't know. Amen. When you don't know, you don't know. Right? We've talked about this before. You know, When you don't know something, then you can't believe for something. Right? Amen. You know, one of the things we kind of joke about is, you know, we love to fish, several of us do in here, and hunt, that kind of thing. But Scotty and I have talked about this a lot. He probably likes to fish better than I do, and probably he does definitely fish more than I do. But we've talked about the fact that we've been here now, 27, coming up on 27 years. And when we first got together as church, we all got, we're kin, and we were never around each other now. You know, Brother Willie, Brother Charles are my second cousins, and we weren't around each other none. You know, I mean, it's just, and the church brought us together. But when we all got together, then we started deciding we're going to fish some. Brother Jerry got in on this. And we'd go all the way to Florida. We'd drive 16 hours because we wanted to go down there and catch them big fish. You know, the big fish down in Florida. Well, we did a lot of going to Florida, but we didn't do a lot of catching big fish. Made a lot of trips, but we weren't very fruitful. And then just a few years back, we happened to learn about going up north to be able to go up to Lake Erie for smallmouth in the springtime. And we went up there and we caught big fish and we caught a lot of fish. And see, here's my point in this. We went all those years driving 16 hours and we really didn't do much good. When we could have went 8 hours and we've had an awesome time every time we went. Now, the reason we didn't go 8 hours before is because we didn't know. We didn't know. And we've talked, you know, I'm 63 years old now and I'm a little mad. You know, I'd like to have learned about this when I was 30 years old, not when I was in my 50s. You know, because it's so much closer. And I mean, you know, and I've learned a lot of things since then about some of this stuff. But my point is, I didn't know, so I couldn't go. Okay, that's in the natural. Now, in the spirit realm, or in over in God's kingdom, if I don't know what the Word says is available to me, how can I get it? Come on. I can't go for it if I don't know about it. And the truth is, a lot of the body of Christ doesn't know what the Word says they can have. And they're doing without because they just don't know. It's not the fact that it's not available. It's a lack of knowledge. And you know, the Word of God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We're missing out on so much. I mean, I even think about my Christian life. You know, I was a preacher and had no idea of everything that was available to me. And one of the reasons was because the particular organization that I was a part of would only go so far as the Word of God was concerned, because they wanted to keep it within the confines of their denomination. And basically those confines were just preaching salvation. Now, thank God for salvation. You got to get saved. But again, I was talking with a person the other day. We were talking about the fact that, you know, if you've got a whole church full of people that are saved, there's no point in preaching salvation to them. Isn't that right? Come on, I mean, you all agree with me. I could preach on salvation, and you know, we do it. Again, it's the most important thing. But if everybody's saved, then you can agree with me. But we're not growing any, because I'm telling you what you already know. We need to be taught what we don't know, so that we can learn what we don't know, so then we'll know that and we can benefit from that. It can be profitable to us, you see. So it's important for us to learn the Scriptures and get into things that we don't already know. Now, all of us got our favorite stories, right? We got our favorite Scriptures and that kind of thing. But it's good to get into some of that stuff we don't know. And sometimes we can get a little deep in that, but again, that's where it's good to have some helps, get you a concordance and some things, some, you know, that'll help you understand what those words mean in the Greek, and it brings it out. I like to get different translations of the Bible as I study, and be able to, it's not that I'll necessarily use them all the time, but sometimes I'll be reading something and I'm like, well, I wonder what that means over in Amplified. You know, or what's that mean in New Living? Or what's that mean in the Message? What's it mean in the Good News Bible? What's it? You see, because there's all those translations out there. That don't mean I'll preach from it or even use it. But sometimes It helps me to understand because it's more in plain language. And it helps it because King James sometimes will make you scratch your head and go, huh? Right? But when you get that and then you tie it all together, you're like, okay, I get that. Now, I'll just be the first to tell you, sometimes you'll look at a translation and I think they miss it a mile. You know, I think because a lot of times some translations are paraphrased Bibles. In other words, they take the Greek and then they give you a phrase of what they believe that means. And then sometimes it can be way off. Okay? So it's not that you just take it all to heart, but you get them together, you know. Let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And that way you will get a full picture of what you're hearing. So when you start looking at all this and you understand, I don't want to miss out on anything that God's got for me because I have a lack of knowledge. Right? I'll give you a good example of this. Remember when Paul went up to Ephesus, and I think it's Acts chapter 19. He goes up to Ephesus there, and he finds believers up there at Ephesus. Now, this is during Paul's missionary journeys, and he comes and he finds some believers up there, and he looks at them. You know, they're right there, born again, serving God. And he asks them. He says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they looked at him and they said, "We've not even heard of the Holy Ghost." Now, what were they missing out on? Come on, you see what I mean? And it wasn't because they didn't believe in God. It wasn't because they weren't good people. It was because they had a lack of knowledge they had not heard. So they couldn't believe or receive something they hadn't heard. So they were missing out on one of the greatest experiences that a child of God can ever experience. Wouldn't you agree that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, is probably one of the greatest experiences that a believer could ever receive? Come on now. Salvation, of course, is the greatest, is to get born again. But man, once you get born again, to be endued with power from on high, to receive your heavenly language so that you can pray when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Ghost prays through you. Come on now. I mean, you talk about a gift from God, and a lot of people are missing out on the baptism of the Holy Ghost because they don't know. Still today. Now, those believers didn't know. Once Paul started telling them about it, the Bible says that they received. And after they received that, then they went out and they evangelized that whole Asia Minor area there. You see, it makes a difference when you learn and know something if you go ahead and just believe it. Amen. See, there are people that do know about the Holy Ghost, but because of maybe their social standing, maybe because of the church they go to, maybe because of the denomination and what they believe, they stay away. They don't want to get filled with the Holy Ghost because they're afraid they may have to leave their organization. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I was in that spot at one time, and I chose Jesus over the organization. I chose the Holy Ghost over the organization, and I've never regretted a day of it. Amen. Because I would rather please God as to please men. Amen. And see, sometimes that's what happens, you know, when it comes to the things of God. It's not even a lack of knowledge. It's the fact that they reject the knowledge that they get. I'll give that to you here just in a minute. I'll give you some scriptures that shows that, how the children of Israel did that. So we need to make sure that we get to that place that it's not a lack of knowledge with us. You know, it's the fact that we have the Word, we believe the Word, and receive the Word. Those disciples, once they heard, once Paul told them about Jesus and about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they immediately received, began speaking tongues, prophesied. Come on. Why? Because that's part of what the Holy Ghost does. And so they receive that. Now, jump over here with me to Romans chapter 10 real quick. Romans chapter 10. Let's read down through here just a little bit. Romans 10, well, let's begin in verse 6. It says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise." Now, let me just stop here real quick and look at verse 5 there. It says, Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, he says, Moses says, what made you righteous under the law was just doing what God said. Right? They kept rituals. They went through the motions. They did those things. But then he goes on and he says, this is what Moses said about the law. But it says, but the righteousness which is of faith. Did you know your righteousness is by faith? Come on, think about it now. The Bible says that Jesus Christ Himself, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Well, how do I know I've been made righteous? I have to have faith that the Word of God is true. So my faith in the Word that says I was made righteous because He was made sin for me, that's what makes me righteous. Amen. Of course, righteousness is nothing other than right standing with God. So I believe I have right standing with God, don't you? See, that's your faith that makes you righteous, because we believe what the Word says. So he goes on here and he says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That's the word of faith which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Notice that. It's all about your faith in what the word says. I'm made righteous because I do believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that he died for my sins, and on the third day the Lord raised him up. I believe that. I've confessed and made him Lord of my life. And because of that, I'm saved. Because I believe that, I'm saved. I don't know any other way to tell you how I know I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Think about it for a minute. How do I know I'm saved? Well, you know, Pastor Mike, I just feel so good now. I just feel like a burden's been lifted off. Well, what about them days when you don't feel that way? Are you still saved? Because if you're going by feelings, right? See, that's the thing about this. And that's what the devil tries to use on us, is our emotions, our feelings, right? He tries to play on our feelings, because I just be there some days that I just don't even know if I'm a preacher or not by the way I feel. Can I just be honest with you? Not that I'm into meanness or nothing. I'm talking about you just feel. You know. And then, of course, when you're feeling like that, that's a good time for the devil to come up and whisper and say, "You're going to go to hell for what you're doing." I know you all never had that kind of deal, you know, or anything. But you know. Yeah, you're just faking it. Come on now. Right? You're not really saved. You know better than that. You wouldn't even thought that thought a little while ago if you was really saved. Come on now. See, you're still living in this fleshly body. And those thoughts come, but you just don't let them stay. You cast them down. The way you know you're saved is by faith in what the Word of God says. If I confess and I believe, thou shalt be saved. That's the only way any of us know that we're saved. No experience that you've had. Come on, because I can't find it in the Bible where you'll have an experience. Come on. You know, well, you know, I was laying in the bed that night and my dear old dead grandmother appeared in my room. And I just knew when I seen her that I was saved. And what you saw was a demon. Because dead grandmas don't rise and appear in your room. To be absent from, if they're in heaven, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, not present on earth. Come on now, are there demonic entities on this earth that want to sure fool you and cause you to get confused and go to hell? Absolutely. They're still here. The same demons that were in the 2,000 swine that ran into the ocean and drowned them. Those same demons are still loose on this earth, plus all the rest of them. Don't believe all this junk that you're seeing and hearing. You know, aliens. Come on now. I know some folks really, how do you explain all this other stuff? I don't have to blame them to explain all this stuff. I got the Word of God that explains it to me, all I need to know. I ain't trying to figure out all this stuff. All I want to do is make sure that I stay in the Word of God, and I'm going to end up in heaven. How about you? Come on now. They can take a pie pan and make it look on film like it's a saucer. You wouldn't know the difference. No, stay with truth. Stay with the Word. The way I know I'm saved is by what the Word of God says and the fact that I accepted what the Word of God says. I believe in my heart and I've confessed with my mouth and therefore I'm saved. And that's the same way you are. You see, and sometimes preachers make it so difficult, make it sound like, you know, they're just this big thing, you know, and it's truthfully just faith. It's just believing what the Word says. That's how I know I'm righteous. That's how I know I'm saved, because the Word says so. And that's why it's so important to know what the Word says. Amen. If you don't know what it says about you, you can't really say, I know I'm saved. Right? You know, and I know that I've been lived here all my life. Well, I'll just tell you now, brother, it's better felt than told. Well, it is good felt, but you need to be able to know how to told it. Right? How do I know? Why do I know I'm feeling so good? Because the Word of God says, I made Jesus Christ my Lord, and therefore I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me, and that's why I feel so good. I got the very presence of God living on the inside of me. And I know it because the Word tells me I do. Amen. And so we let's read on just a little bit. He says that's how we know that we're saved. Okay. He goes on and says, for the Scripture saith, verse 11, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. In other words, it don't matter who you are, whatever your race is or whatever it is. Same Lord, same God. Don't matter what denomination you are. Same Lord, same God. Amen. We're all children of God. Once we get born again, we're all part of the same family. Amen. You know, I understand people go to different churches and all that kind of thing, but the thing we have to be able to agree on is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for our sins, was placed in a tomb, rose again on the third day, and when we can agree on that, then we're good. There's a lot of other stuff that we don't agree on. But He goes on then and He says, you know, shouldn't be ashamed, there's no difference. Verse 13, for whosoever, any whosoever's in here? Shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Whosoever, not a select few. Did you hear me? God did not predestinate a few to go to heaven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Whosoever. That don't exempt anybody. Right? No matter whether you like them or not. If they call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Right? Let me read on now. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Look at verse 16. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So notice this now. Faith, righteousness comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing. But now let's read on just a little bit. He says, but I say, have they not heard? Notice that. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them who are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And Isaiah says, very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I stretch forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, let me just break this down just a little bit. You do understand that Israel is God's chosen people. You know, I understand there are some people in our country right now that don't have a clue. Come on now. Protesting violence and protesting killing, protesting against Israel. Come on, you get mad at me if you want to. That's just wrong. That's far. I'll say that much. Israel is God's chosen people. Now, God's plan has always been for Israel to get to go to heaven. The people of Israel. They're His chosen people. But notice here, even after saying that faith comes by hearing, then He says, well, didn't they hear? Yeah, they heard. The sound went everywhere. Didn't they know? Yeah, they knew. But they rebelled. They went against God. There are people, Israelites, that are not born again. And the reason they're not born again is because they've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ yet. They're the reason that there's going to be 144,000 Jews preaching when we're gone. Angels are going to be preaching when we're gone. And it's because God's chosen people, He wants to go. He's after them. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. They're the chosen ones, but because they wouldn't readily accept Jesus when He came, God used us, the Gentiles, the Greeks, everybody that wasn't an Israelite. God said, you know what? And He's got it through His parables. Remember, I had the marriage supper of the Lamb, how He says the ones that were chosen wouldn't come, so go out the highways. We're the ones in the highways and the hedges that He compelled to come in. The Bible says that God cut off the natural branch and He grafted in us. Thank God. We were that hope. He was the God of the Israelites. And He said, you know what? I'm going to make you jealous with that bunch. They're not seeking after Me, but they'll find Me. I'll take those people who were not a people and I'll make them My people. Aren't you glad you're one of God's peeps? Hallelujah. He made us His peeps. Come on. Just so that He could make Israel jealous and let them see, hey, if you don't want to come, there's some people that do want to come, and I want to come, don't you? I want to make sure I'm going. Hallelujah. So God used us, the Gentiles, to make Israelites see that they're missing out. Hey, you don't know Jesus is Lord? You better get to know, because this bunch has found out that He is. And since they know, they get to go. And you need to get to know so you can go. That's the God. He loves us so much. He loves Israel so much. He wants us all to go. But it's up to us to make that choice. And He says here, because they were rebellious, because they were disobedient, that's why He brought us in. Now, so righteousness comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing, but faith works by acting. You have to act on what you hear and know. Because just to hear it, they heard. Just to know it, they knew. But they didn't act on what they heard and what they know. See, so we know the Word of God. We gotta make sure we know it, but then we need to act on it. Now, I'm going to get you one more scripture and then we'll close out on this thing. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll jump up to verse 16. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and not to also the Greek. Notice again, God puts the Jews first. God's people are the Jewish people. They're His chosen people. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice that. That's almost like an oxymoron. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. What's that mean? It means they know the truth, but they choose to stay unrighteous. They choose not to take righteousness. They choose not to do the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Notice this. Here's the thing. You can look around and see creation and know that there is a God. Right? Come on, you can do that. But we have His Word so that we can know God. There's a lot of people knows there's a God. But if you really want to know God, you've got to know the Word. Because you can't separate God from His Word. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. And so when we know the Word, we know God because that's who He is. And so when we read the Word, we hear something contrary to the Word, then we know that's not God because God is lined up with His Word and everything He does lines up with His Word. Right? So here's the thing. I'll close with this. When we know the Word and we live this Word, knowing the Word will bring the blessing of God into your life. Amen. Knowing that Word, knowing what it says you can have, because if I know I can have it, then I can use my faith and receive it and be blessed. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord God, that we know what Your Word